Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yivam Taf Kuf Yud Ches. Yivam is Kuf Yud Ches. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Look at the Mishnah. Achas Emeres Meis, Achas Emeres Lai Meis. If there's a husband goes to Medina Siam with two wives, he has two wives, and when they come back, one says he died, and one says he didn't die. Zusha Emeres Meis Tinasei, Vitzita Ksuvah. The one who says that her husband died, she is able to get remarried, she collects a Ksuvah based on the prior Mishnayos they've had in this parak that Aisha is nemmed to say her husband died, and she's nemmed to get remarried and collect a ksuva. So that's the one who says mace, she gets to do both those things. However, Zusha Meres Le Mace, the one who said the husband did not die, Leitinas fighting the ksuva, she obviously cannot get remarried, and she cannot collect a ksuva. The basic idea would be, of course, Shavya Nafsha Chitik Lezura. We'll see more about that in the Gemara, what's going on. Meaning, do we say that we believe that she's coming to say the truth? Perhaps she's just coming to try to mess up the other co-wife. We'll see shortly. Achas Emeres Meis. One of the co-wives say that the husband died. V'achas Emeres Nerag. And the other co-wife says he was killed. Different testimonies. One said that he died natural causes, and one said that he was killed. So they're both agreeing that he was dead, but they're arguing how it happened. Remei Oimer, Hoyel Machisha Suhasu. Since they're arguing with each other, contradicting each other with how it happened, what the story is, they cannot get married. They cannot get married because it's Eidos HaChasha. Fine. But the obvious question is, so you're saying over here in this case, where they both say he died, they just argue how he died, they both cannot get remarried because Eidos HaChasha. So why in the ratio in the first case, where one said he died and one said he didn't die, that would seemingly be a bigger HaChasha. Why over there don't we say they both cannot get remarried because Eidos HaChasha? Why did Rameir not argue in the ratio an obvious problem? The Gemara is going to address it right away. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, say in this second case, since both of the co-wives agree that he's not around, that he's gone. One says he was murdered, one says he's dead, but they both agree that he's gone. Yinasu, they're both able to get married. Sorry, Yinasu, they're both able to get remarried. Eid Aimer Meis, Ve'Eid Aimer Le'Meis. If one eid says that the husband died, and one eid said the husband did not die. Or tap of Kufi Chesam and Aleph, Isha Emeres Meis, V'Isha Emeres Le Meis. If the Isha says he died, and one Isha says he didn't die, Harei Zlatase, once again, she can't get remarried. Again, the simple way of reading of the Mishnah is, this last din is, if you have two Eidim arguing with each other, if you have one Eid saying death, one Eid saying not death, or Isha is never to be an Eid Echad for these purposes, one Isha against another Isha. The only thing is, Isha, it could also be Mashba, the Tsaras themselves. One Tsaras saying Meis, and one Tsaras saying Le Meis, that would was saying that you wouldn't be able to get married. That would obviously stim like Rameir, we just have Rameir, the Eid Zachasha, no one can get married. Based on what we said in the Reisha, in that first case, look, at least the one who says Mace should be able to get married. Again, the Gemara will address who's the author of this Sefer, this last din. Back to the Reisha. The Gemara says like this. Time of number Mace. In the first case, the Mishnah said, if one co-wife said Mace, the husband died, and the second co-wife says Le Mace, the husband didn't die, she can't get remarried. Mashma. The reason is because the second co-wife said, husband didn't die. Ha, ishtika. If the co-wife had been silent, let's say the second co-wife, again, first co-wife says, husband died. Second co-wife was silent. Sounds like Tanase. The second co-wife, even though she was silent, would also be able to get remarried. But avadana, we just had in the prior Mishnah, ha'in tsar me'id l'chaverta. Ha'in tsar me'id l'chaverta. A tsara cannot say edus for her friend. A tsara cannot say edus for her co-wife. It's one of the five neshim that aren't trusted. So the co-wife number one that's saying that her husband, co-wife number one that's saying that the husband died is not a good edus for co-wife number two. So even if co-wife number two is quiet, she shouldn't be able to get married. Why do you have to say that she said, lame-ace, the husband didn't die? Even had she been quiet, she wouldn't be able to get married because she can't get married based on the testimony of her co-wife who may be coming to mess her up. Gemara says, Le-mace, itzukle. The second co-wife, the Tana, you're right, enechami. That what you're saying is taka true. But the Tana needed the case of Le-mace for a different, Tana needed the case of Le-mace for a different chiddush. Why? Sagadai chamina ha-mais. Hadakamer Le-mace, likakulu the tzarehi. I would have thought like this, that really the husband died. And the reason why the co-wife is saying the husband didn't die is to mess up the first wife. The co-wife that's saying, one co-wife came and says, husband died. Second co-wife is coming to say that husband didn't die, specifically to mess with the first co-wife, and therefore what? To come about, her thought process is, Thomas Nafshi and Pelishtim, Kamra, even though it's going to mess me up as well, because I'm not going to get married either, I want to mess up my co-wife. That's just the nature of a person that wants to mess up the co-wife, even at her own expense. And therefore we don't say that. What's going on over here? So the Rashi explains what's going on there is that she's trying to we assume that when she comes to court to say that the husband is alive, what she's trying to do is make her co-wife an aguna. She's trying to make her co-wife aguna, because if she really held that the husband was, if she holds the husband's alive, sorry, if the husband was really dead, then she could have just kept quiet. If the husband was really dead, So Rashi explains that the said is that if all she wanted to have was that she holds her husband was not dead, and therefore she herself can't get married, the second co-wife, all she should have done is just kept quiet. If she keeps quiet, we're not going to trust the co-wife's testimony to allow this the other co-wife to get remarried, and therefore she could just kept quiet. So the fact that she's talking presumably is not just because she. Is not because she really holds the husband still alive. She just simply wants to mess up her co-wife and claim the husband's alive, that the co-wife couldn't get married, even though it's messing herself up. And what will be the upshot of this? The upshot would be is, really the husband's not dead. They both know the husband's dead. The first co-wife testifies the husband's dead. Second co-wife, the fact that she didn't testimony that he's alive is merely there to try to mess up the first co-wife, even at her own expense, and therefore it's all not true, and therefore even the second co-wife can get remarried. That's the Gemara's Avmina. It would have been a tzad that even the second co-wife can get married, because we know for sure what she's saying is a lie, because there's no reason for her to say anything. She could have just kept quiet. And the fact that she's saying something must be only to mess up her co-wife, and therefore we don't accept what she's saying at all. Kamashmala, the no. That we do say that she really believes the Shavya Nafshe is in full force. She is testifying that her husband's still alive, and because she says her husband's alive, we believe her, the Gabi herself, and she cannot get remarried. Achas Emeris Meis. If one of the co-wives say he died naturally, another one said he was killed, Rav Meir says, it's a chasha, and therefore they can't get remarried. Rabbi Yehuda Shimon said, no, she can get remarried. Fektimara, we ask this Kashmir of the Mishnah. For Lifli Rav Meir Bereisha, if you tell me when this it's a chasha, they're not believed, you don't believe anything, so why did Rav Meir allow the first co-wife to get married in the Risha? He should say that there's the first co-wife is part of a chasha, she testified the husband's dead, but the next co-wife said, husband's alive, and therefore none of them should be able to get married. In the Risha, also Rav Meir argue, and say that none of them can be married, says the Gemara. Amar Belazar, you're right. The Reisha is also telling the Machlekes, and the Reisha is going, this that we quoted, that the first co-wife who testifies her husband's dead can't marry, is Taka the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who say that we don't just automatically quote Eitz Zachasha. We don't call the conflicting edus of the two co-wives edus achasha, and therefore we believe the co-wife who says the husband died to allow her to get remarried. But Enochami, according to a mayor, he'd argue in the Reisha and say none of them can get remarried. That's answer number one. Rabbi Yechon Amarichon says, answer number two, Afilu Tehim Rameir, even like a mayor, Bahafil Meir Maida, in this, I mean the Reisha can even go like a mayor. Why? Because over here, even Rameir would agree, to call Loi Meis Pei Desisha, Hachashi. Anytime you have the Loi Meis, where Aisha testifies, husband did not die, Lava Chasha, I should say. That's not called Achasha. Why? So the Rashi learns, very simple, Rashi learns that this goes back to the Klal, that whenever an Eidechel is Neman, once that we have the Kapabada go from Ula, whenever Eidechel is Neman, it's like, it's a Kibet Trey, it's like two. Over here, you had Eidechel, really, the first wife came along and said, Mace, the husband died. When a woman comes along and says her husband dies, the Lacha is, we trust her, the husband's dead. It's considered like two Eidim, so to speak, not Mamish to Eidim, if two Eidim come, it will still win, but she's treated like two Eidim to believe her husband's dead and she's getting married, and therefore if one Eid subsequently comes afterwards and says husband's not dead, that one Eid is like Chad B'makam Shnayim and not believed. And therefore the second co-wife, when she comes and says Leimes, she's not going to be believed. So over there, Rameir agrees that the first Isha, the first co-wife can get married, because it doesn't have the status of a Chasha, it's one against two. Whereas in the second case where they're both saying Mace, they're both saying that testimony that has an Emunis, and they're just arguing how it happened. Over there, it's considered Eidus HaChasha, and over there, Meir holds that Taka. So ironically enough, when the second co-wife agrees the husband's dead, just argues how it happens, that messes up the first co-wife more than if the second co-wife would say, Lay Mace. That's the irony that comes out of the power of the first aid being believed like two. That is how Rashi learns the Gemara. However, The Rishonim all take issue. They all take issue with Rashi. Tosfos, the Rash, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, they all take issues with Rashi. They ask kashas from the lashon of the Mishnah, from the Gemara. So even the Aruch HaNeir will say Rashi never meant it this way, because based on what we're saying is it's dafka where the, according to Rashi, it's dafka where the first one came, said the husband died, got a psak that she's mutter, that's part of it, and then the second one came. That's what we say, kamakam shamina, Rabbi, if you don't have all that, then the first case wouldn't apply. Therefore, what they learn is as follows. They learn that the case is that the Isha Avada, whenever Isha testifies, her testimony, Legabi the co-wife, is considered nothing, Legabi the co-wife. So when the first wife testifies that the husband died, so it's considered Legabi the co-wife Rameir's time was that the way Rechel is explaining that Kol Edus Loimes Be'edus Isha means by co-wives. We don't mean Stam Edus Isha, whether she's with the guy married. We're talking about co-wives. When it comes to co-wives, the testimony of a co-wife is not considered, typically, is not considered a chasha. So in the first case, where one co-wife says husband died, so if some other Edecha came and said husband did not die, and this would still be before they gave a psak to the first Isha, without getting involved with the fact that it's kishnayim, so of course the second aid would be believed, because you have a conflict whether the husband died or not. But over here, where it's the co-wife who's arguing, over here we assume we're never going to trust the co-wife to mess up the other wife, because we know that they take issue with each other. So over there, Rameir says we're not going to believe her because you're trying to make a problem. In the second case, very Gishmak Alumdus. In the second case, Rameir argues because over there she's obviously not trying to mess up her co-wife. First one saying the husband died al yidei natural death. Second one saying no, he's taka dead, but al yidei ritzicha, someone killed him. Since she's also telling the husband died, she's clearly not coming to mess up the co-wife. If she's not coming to mess up the other co-wife, then we do have to take her edus as a real edus. And then what do we have? We have two conflicting reports how he died. Now, according to a mayor, that's a problem. Two conflicting reports how he dies is considered edus nechasha, and therefore it's a problem. And we don't have the excuse to say each co-wife doesn't have to be meshuvah to the other one because they're trying to mess each other up. Because they're not. They're both agreeing the husband's dead. They're not obviously messing each other up. So the dear mayor says, ironically enough, you're worse off since the co-wives are not messing each other up. And they have a chasha, therefore they're not going to be believed to let each other get married. Whereas in the reisha, where a co-wife comes to mess the other one up, we're not going to take into account the co-wife's testimony to mess up the other co-wife. That's where Meir argues in the second case, ironically enough, where they both agree the husband's dead and doesn't argue in the first case, but Meir could also be the Tana, could be the Tana of the first case as well.
Hey, I'll argue in the last part. The first part is a Stam Mishnah, so it's straight.
Well, let's see. The Gemara's guess right now for the last case. Very good. The Gemara's guess right now. The Gemara's going to get Raya right now from the last case, Akasha under Be'echanan. Tanan. If one eight says that the husband died, and one eight says the husband didn't die, this is the end of the Mishnah. Isha meres meis, Isha meres lemeis. One Isha says husband died, one Isha says husband didn't die. Again, the simple text can mean Isha, can mean just any Isha saying Edus, but the Gemara understands this to include, Rashi points out, the Gemara understands this to include even the Saras, even the co-wives themselves are the Ishas that one saying meis, one saying lemeis. Hareis letanase. The Sefer says, in that case, the woman cannot get remarried. Now, this is a case where you have the two co-wives testifying, and we're saying can't get married. So who's going to be the author of this last part of the Mishnah? Bishlam Lebelazer, Stamakir Meir. According to us, it's very good. The Stam, the Psaket and the Mishnah goes like Meir. Elar B'Yechanan, Kasha, B'Kort B'Yechanan, that when it comes to a co-wife's testimony, it's going the way with Rash and Rabban learned, when it comes to testimony of a co-wife, the co-wives are not normally believed. Like in the Reisha, we're saying the co-wife is not believed to mess up her friend, and we're saying it's even according to a mayor. Rabbi Yechon wanted to make it even according to a mayor. If that's the case, who's going to be the author of the Sefer? I think this is what Uri was asking. The author of the Sefer is not going to be, it's not going to fit like anybody. It won't feel like a mayor. It won't feel like the Rabbi Dar and Rabbi Shimon, because they all agreed, according to Rabbi Yechon, that the issue says, Mace was able to get remarried. So the one for the safe, according to like a mayor, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi argues, not according to Rabbi Yechon, and the mayor says, you're right, Kasha, according to Rabbi Yechon, the safe is shver, it only fits like a mayor. Again, the Kasha is only shver if you hold the case of, in the safe of, Isha Emeris Mace, Visha Emeris Le Mace, is going on the co-wives. The Gemara, for some reason, held that it's pashas that it is, and didn't want to deflect that maybe Isha Meres Lemes is not going on the Kohavs, rather it's going on Stame Isha in the Veld. Eid Echad, or Isha as Eid Echad, not the Kohavs. Then everything would be fine, wouldn't be fair. The Gemara takes for granted that Isha includes Kohav, and therefore the Gemara says it's a kasha on Rabbi Echad. Now, just a couple of points on this. On this Gemara, the Tesis was bothered. Tesis of Yermasal Taima. Taima Dhamma Lemes Ha'ishtika. Tesis right around the beginning of the Gemara, where we said the reason why the second Isha couldn't get married, in the case where the first co-wife says, Mes Bali, and the second one says, Lemes, second one can't get married, then where's the dyke? Only because she said Lemes. Had she been quiet, she'd be able to get married. As Tesis, what type of deek is that? Maybe the reason why we said Lemes is because we want to set up this, look at the whole Shakartaya. The next case of the Mishnah was, one says Lemes and one says Nerag. Since we want to have the second one saying, another type of contradiction in the middle case, and again the Sefer, so we set up the first case, also Lemes, but who had dinish to go? So what is the Marzdiyat? L'chara, the Reisha could be easily a setup for symmetry purposes, and the other co-wife said Lemes, but this, it could be the case would have been who had din, if the co-wife was quiet, it was only unto the Sefer. Taisa answers to Enechanami. The Diyak is not from the words Lemes. The Diyak is from the Psak of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the one who says Lemes, the lach is that she cannot get married, that she cannot get ksuva, and she cannot get married. Isn't it obvious? So if she says Lemes, it's pashut that she can't get married and can't get ksuva. The Gemara is being medayik to take this from the fact the Mishnah spoke that out, that she can't get married and can't get ksuva, we're medayik that had she not said Lemes, she would be able to get married and get ksuva. Otherwise, it would be no need for the Mishnah to elaborate on the Isha of Lemes. It wouldn't have to elaborate. The fact it elaborates means had she been quiet, she would be able to get remarried. That's just Tosfos on the Shakravataya of the Gemara. Okay, let's see the next Mishnah. Haisha.
One quick question.
Sure.
So just going back for a second, when a woman says Loi Meis, maybe it's not Eidus HaKasha, because Loi Meis is not an action, is not an activity, it's not an Agad Seidus. No, he's alive. That's why there's no Machlaik. That's why Meir doesn't pipe up over there. Is there ever a
svar
to Loi Meis from
Manisha
saying that it's not really a
good thing? No, yes, absolutely. So your Mechamet to a svar that we should say, similar, I don't know exactly what you're saying, but it's very, very, very similar, that Loi Meis is a much more complicated Eidus. Meaning, we said a svar earlier that the co-wife, we believe she's just coming to mess up. She's just really just to, at least the Gemara's Havmin. Remember, the Gemara's Havmin was Salka Daita Chamina. Really, he's dead. And she's just coming to chep her with her co-wife. And therefore, I would think that she could even get remarried, the second co-wife. Kamash, well, we don't say that. But in that Havamina, that the Havmina was, that we don't say Shavian Av Shechiti Chesura. The Havmina was that for some reason, she's able to get remarried, even the second co-wife can get remarried, even though she's still amazed, because she's only coming to chep her husband. Part of the logic that Rishonim used to explain what's our proof she's coming to chep her husband is because to testify that he's still alive is very difficult. They were together in the Siyam. They came back. Does she know he's alive right now? Does she know that maybe the co-wife who says she's dead, who said the husband died, has some sort of other proof that the husband died? To prove he's alive is much more difficult than to prove he's dead, right? I mean, you have a right?
So,
exactly. So the Rishonim use your svara, very good. The Rishonim use your svara to elaborate on the Havmina. The reason why the Kamash part of the mission is that when the first Isha says, Mace, and the second one says, Lay Mace, first Isha get married, second one cannot get married, Lemais we say that we don't accept it, because Lemais is Shavin Avshachitik of the Surah. We still go back and we say, we don't assume it's just there, she's just coming to chepper her co-wife. That's a possibility, but not to the extent that we're not so convinced she's coming to chepper that we'll say that the husband is Taka dead, and she goes to get married. No, Shavin Avshachitik, and therefore she can't get married. But at least the Havamina is exactly your Svara. So that is right along the lines of what you're saying. Okay. Very good. So that's the Mishnah. Ha'isha shalcha b'hil ba'al midyat siyam. The woman went with her husband to midyat siyam. Ubav amar she came back and said, Meis ba'ali. My husband died. Tinas v'titu ksuva. This is based on what we've had in the past already. She's believed her husband died. She can get remarried and she can collect the ksuva. V'tzarasa, but in this case, she had a co-wife back here. The co-wife remains usher, because the co-wife obviously can't get married based on the testimony of a tzara. That's the Mishnah prior. Ha'isha basisol l'kayin. Let's see, this co-wife was a basisol. And the husband, who was claimed to be dead, but we're saying Legabi the co-wife that stayed back, we're treating him as if he's alive, he was a Kayan. So Techa Bachuma, this second wife, who is not able to get married based on the testimony of her co-wife, not only is she asked to get married and she stays married, she's mutter to continue eating Chuma, Divir Btarfin. That's how vite, we don't believe one Tsar Legabi the other. As far as the Tsar is concerned, her husband's fully alive. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, no. That's not the way to protect the co-wife from being over Avera. Unfortunately, she's stuck. She's going to be usher to get remarried, this co-wife, because she can't get married based on the testimony of her tzara. But she also can't eat Juma. We have to be chayshish, meichash. We have to at least be chayshish that maybe what the tzara said is true, and therefore the co-wife can no longer eat Juma. Amra Mace Bali, Vacha Mace Chami. A very similar case, but this is just talking about now, a case of where the woman comes back and says, my husband died, and then my mother-in-law died. My father-in-law died. My husband died, and my father-in-law died. Tidas v'tut ha'ksuva, she can marry and get a ksuva herself, obviously. That's the same din. V'chamaisa asura. Now, instead of her testimony affecting her co-wife, we talk about how it affects, this second case, she has no co-wife. It's affecting her mother-in-law. She's saying her father-in-law died also, so her mother-in-law will be usher because we don't trust her to make her mother-in-law mutter. Again, the mother-in-law is one of the five nashim that she's not nemen about. And if the mother-in-law is a Bas Yisrael that was married to a Kayin, the mother-in-law can continue to eat truma the very bitar from Kivaymer. This is not a way to take her out from being Ivan Avera. You're not protecting the mother-in-law from all Averas. You're not letting her get remarried because you're scared the daughter-in-law is lying, but you're allowing her to eat truma because you're so convinced she's lying. You're allowing the daughter-in-law to go get remarried. So you have the daughter-in-law going to get remarried, and you're still not trusting that what she's saying is true enough to stop the mother-in-law from being chuma. No. It's only fit to say she cannot get remarried the mother-in-law, but she also has to refrain from eating. She has to refrain from eating chuma. Okay. So the obvious question that we bothered is, why do we need two cases with the same exact halacha? Same achleikas with Tafra and Rabbi Kiva. Tzricha. Diit mahach. If you tell me the first case by the tsaras, by a tzara, where there's tzara degufa, Rashi explains what it means tzara degufa, but when a husband has two wives, the tzara that the wives give each other is not just competition, it's actually physically, the one wife is going to be missing her husband on some nights that she wants to be with him because he's busy with the other co-wife. So that's a tzara deguf. It's a shtark tzar. That's a much higher level of tzar than stand the animosity they have between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law or other sister-in-laws. That's much different. So I would say as follows. I would say over there, I would say, and because the tzara degufa, the hatred is strong enough that we say it's a total lie, and the guy by herself, she's willing to get married. But the guy by the co-wife, it's a total lie, and the co-wife can continue to eat truma. But by the mother-in-law, the tzara mili ba'alma, where the tzara is just, mili ba'alma means like words, but it means more, it's, you know, it's a contentious relationship, but it's not a tzara of guf. And therefore, you gotta play it safe. She taka can't get remarried, but she can't eat truma. You gotta play it safe. So maybe Rabbi Tav is meant to Rabbi. And if the Mishnah only said the second case by the mother-in-law, I'd say, how come Rabbi Kiva here says, play it safe. Avabach, but in the first case, the hatred is much stronger because it's co-wives. Maybe Rabbi Kiva's meant to Rabbi. And therefore, we say she can even eat chuma. Says Mar Tzricha. Therefore, we need both cases to show that Tarfin stays to stick to his guns. That in both cases, we don't trust the testimony at all. Legabe the co-wife or legabe the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law co-wife stay married. We treat them as if they're still married, and they can even eat chuma. And in both cases, Kiva says no. Leizu aderech. We can't say that the co-wife is able to eat chuma and not get married, while the other co-wife is getting remarried. We can't have that. You're not protecting her from a chet, and the same by the mother-in-law. Interesting side point, the Chashuk Chemed of Silverstein, he has an interesting psak that Shaila, I don't know if it's an actual Shaila came to him, or it's a theoretical Shaila, but there was an apartment that was given over, that was dedicated for people who were in need, desperate need, people in desperate need, more of a temporary situation, but temporarily until they got their situation back in order, there was an apartment that was given for the stock of people who need it, and two people came to apply for the apartment. One family came to apply for the apartment, they were a couple living in an apartment with their parents, with their mother-in-law, with their in-laws, and the couple wanted, it was a very hard situation, and they went to the apartment, at least they found something on their own, to get out. And the other couple were living themselves, just themselves and the family, but there were not enough, there's only more enough rooms, not enough beds, bedrooms, and they was living husband and wife together with some of their kids in their bedroom. So they didn't have they had their own apartment, but they didn't have enough rooms for the husband and wife to have a private bedroom. So they wanted rights to this apartment to be able to have a private bedroom. So who takes precedence? The ones living with the parents or the ones living with their children only, like a regular family, but without enough bedrooms. And Zilba Shem Paskin, based on this Gemara, Tzara de Gufa Adda, it's very clear that the Gemara is saying it's Tzara de Guf, a Tzara of not being able to have proper ability for access for the husband and wife to have relations is considered tsar de gufa, and therefore the family that doesn't have their own private bedroom with the husband and wife would take precedent to get this tzedakah apartment over the other family. Interesting side psak based on our Gemara. Okay, so before we get to the last Gemara, with the Gemara is going to bring halach lemaisa between machlekes Ritafrin and Rabbi Akiva. There's a very interesting machlekes in the Achronim. We're saying that Lagabe Truma, Reb Tarfin says that she's considered mutati truma even. And Reb Akiva says, no, Lagabe Truma, she's asli truma because we have to be chayshish. What if she goes and gets married? Again, let's go talk about the case of the co-wife. The co-wife goes and gets married. We're saying everyone agrees that she has to be chayshish, that the eid is not true, and she can't get married. She treats herself like a nesua. What if she goes and gets married? How would we treat that child? So the Mishnah Melech says that child would be treated like a suffolk. The child would be a suffolk mamzer. Since it's a suffolk mamzer, he'd actually be pretty messed up. He can't marry another mamzer, a mamzeris, nor can he marry someone from Klai Yisrael. There are eights that can marry a gamer, perhaps. He can marry someone that's mutter to both a mamzer and to Klai Yisrael. But the Maisa, he'd be usher to sign mamzerim and sign non-mamzerim. That would be the Mishnah Melech. However, the Shef Shmaita says that no, only legabi the chumra of truma and nesua, because it's tart to sasri, we say she can't get remarried. Nor could she eat truma because it's tied to sasri that one co-wife is out there being married and another co-wife eating truma. We have a tied to sasri sitting in front of us. But it's not the pshat that's like a suffix. Like Gabi, the co-wife, the tzara who testified the husband's dead, has zero nemanis. And since she has zero nemanis, really, even according to Rabbi Akiva, she should be able to eat truma. It's the tied to sasri that bothers us, but really she should be able to eat truma. And therefore, theoretically, if a child would be born, the child would be a vade mamzer. Unbelievable. Says the Shef Shmaita, the child would be a vade mamzer because really we say the co-wife, the tzara's testimony is zero. It's nothing. If that's the case, everyone should get up tarfin, let her eat truma. No, that's a separate issue because to the velt we see in front of us, tata sasri, it's people can't wrap their head around. She's still eating truma as if her husband's alive and she's married someone else as if the husband's dead. Tata sasri is bothering us and therefore we can't have that play out. But in a case where the wife that didn't have a testimony, the wife that was supposed to be considered like an asua and supposed to be able to eat chuma, if she's mezana, we consider that like a vade znus, and the child will be a vade mamzer. So in shem machlekes achreinim, Shef Shmaita versus the Mishnah Melech, whether the child will be a vade mamzer or a suffolk mamzer. Interesting. So what is the halach lemaisav over here? Amar Rabbi Shmuel halach Reb Tarfin, halach is like Reb Tarfin that she's able to even eat chuma. Amar Rabbi Yaffan Amtini, Rabbi says we have a raya from the Mishnah that is coming. The Mishnah that actually is coming up in today's Amud Beis of today's daf. Nitali ben Bnis Yam. If the woman says that I had a child in Bnis Yam, so she went to Bnis Yam with her husband. They did not have children yet when they left, and she says I had a child in Bnis Yam. However, Meis Bnei Vacha Meis Bali. My son died, and then my husband died. Nemenes, she's nema to be able to do yibum to the husband's brother. Meaning, we had earlier in the parak, she's nema to say her husband died, and even if it means doing yibum, she's nema to say her husband died and to do yibum. In our case, she left Bnis Yam. As far as we know, she had no children. She's only testifying now that she had a child, it's like Peshas Peshitter, and the child died first, and then her husband died. So she's saying, I'm the same way as you knew when I left, and I'm subject to Ibam on the tzad that my husband died, so she's talking to Ibam. However, if she says, Bali, Vachameis Bni, if she says, my husband died, and then my son died, so over there, she's never the same husband died. But this whole business that she had a son, we never necessarily gave her an amanus for that. So she says she has a son, she said her husband died, and then her son died, which means she was exempt from Ibam. We don't know about this son. You know what the halach is? She's not believed, but b'cheish l'dvera. She's not believed, but we are cheishish for what she says, and therefore chalatzah slaymes memes, she's chalitza and not ibam. Make a diak l'dvera d'cheishin. Hal divit zarin cheishin shmamina. From the lashon of the Mishnah, again, this comes up in Abayis. The lashon is l'dvera. We're cheishish for her words. It's mashma. We're cheishish for her words, her own words for herself. But meaning for her own words, we're cheishish. But had her tzara said such a comment, we wouldn't even be cheishish. Even though the tzara would be saying that, let's say that she's totally exempt from ibam, we wouldn't be cheishish. Shema milah yisakim tarfin, that the tzara's words play no role, legabe, her co-wife, for one tzara to another, we don't trust her words at all, and therefore talk like the tarfin saying that the co-wife would be able to stay married and be able to even eat the chuma. Top of Amud Beis. Looks like a long Amud, goes quite quickly. Kiddush achas b'chamish bashem. A person did kiddushin to one of five women, v'nidei yitzik kiddush, and he's not clear to which one he did kiddushin. Kalachas b'chamish yitzik kiddush, and each one's claiming to be the one that he did kiddushin, and therefore they're demanding that they want ksuva, they want ksuva. He's not staying married to them because he doesn't know which one it was, but They each are claiming that they need to get from him. So what does he have to do? Halacha is meis and gelach lachas achas. He has to give a get to each one of them. Umaneich suva abeneim mistalik. The guy beget, in order for them to be mutter, they're all saying that they're us because of him, and therefore they're all claiming to be his husband, his wife, and therefore they're all entitled to receive from him a get. But ksuva, he puts down one ksuva, and they have to fight over it. The first will discuss if it means mamish, he puts down a friend and let them fight over it, or it goes to the court. But the point is he pays one ksuva. Divrei Tarfon. Rakiva Emer, Ein Zu Derech Moisi B'Dei Aveira, same lashon as the other prior Mishnah. There's not the derech to get himself out of an Aveira, meaning he has one isha that if you're sure it was ksuva to, we're not sure which one it is, so in order to cover all his bases, he has to give not just to get, even a ksuva to each one of them, to make sure to cover all his bases, to make sure he paid his wife a proper ksuva. Similar case. A gazlach mechamisha, what it steals from one of five people. Veinidei is a gazal, he's not sure which one he stole from. Kalachamem is a gazal, each one says, it was me who he stole from. Meniach gazel b'neim umistalik. He puts the gazel between them, and he leaves. He puts down the money, he says, whoever it belongs to, here's your money. This is my hashavas gazela. This is not a way to mate himself from the Avera to make sure his slate is fully clean. Until he pays each one back the money that was stolen, he's got to give each that amount, he's got to pay five times the amount. Kidesh Ketani, Balikhtani, says the Gemara. The first line of the Mishnah says, he's Mekadesh one of five women. It sounds like he's Mekadesh, but not that he had Bia yet, just only did Kedushin. Similarly, Gazakhtani, the Mishnah says, in the second case, where he stole, he was Gazal, Lakach Leikhtani. But didn't teach a case where it was lakach, where he bought from one a five and didn't know, and is not sure if someone's got put himself on mute, and is not sure which one of the five he had purchased from. The point is that by the case of Baal, Rashi says, right away top Rashi, by the case of Baal, there's a svar to say, very interesting, that since he did a maisa of bia with her, is more of a gnus, and there's more of an achrayus to make sure she gets a ksuva. Whereas by Kedusha, of course, he may owe the ksuva, but there's less of an achrayus, you don't have that same level of obligation. Again, the 100% she's entitled monetarily to ksuva, but the point is, his obligation is suffic to cover all bases is stronger when there was a gnus. When there was a bia there, then there was no bia. And on the flip side, again, by lakach, gazal, if he stole, it's kind of like, he's a bad boy, he stole, and therefore we understand strong obligation to pay back, even at low cost, to pay all five. But lakach, where he purchased something, and now he just owes money for the purchase, no stealing taking place. He purchased something, and there's a child which one he purchases from, and therefore who he owes the money to. There's no stealing taking place, it's just a miscommunication, which is leading to an issue. Maybe over there, there'd be smart to say, he's off the hook. So the Gemara is being medayik that the Mishnah picked the case of Kidesh and Eresha, and gazal on the safer, which is really the opposite, almost the opposite extremes. Kiddush is the case where he's less likely to have to pay all five, and Gazal is the case where he's more likely to pay all five. And there must be bothered that we have a price that quote similar machlekes, but one price that has both Kiddush and Lakach, and one price that has Gazal and Baal. Our Mishnah seems to be somewhere between. Let's see it inside. Says Gemara. My name is Sisa, who's going to be the author of the Mishnah? Loi Tanakam of Leib Shem Ben Lazar. The author who has the Mishnah the way that we have it won't fit like the Tanakam of Leib Shem Ben Lazar to tie the clerk to the Brisa. Shem Ben Lazar, Eimer, Leinech, B'tav, Rebbe Kiva, El Shekidesh, Achas, Chamash, Shem Ben Lazar, B'Kidesh. Rav Shimon Lazar says that the Machlekes the Mishnah is not talking about a case where it's Kiddush, that in the case of Kiddush, everyone agrees, Sheminech Ksuva, Ksuva B'neim, Umasal. You put down one Ksuva and you leave. All you did was Kiddush, you didn't do Bia. That's good enough. Put down one Ksuva and walk away and let them figure out who it belongs to. Amanech Laba, Al Shabal. They only argue in a case of Bia. Rav Tafra, Sheminech Ksuva B'neim, Umasal. Rav Tafra says, still put the Ksuva down and leave. Rav Kiva, Imer, no. Ashisham, Kolech, Over there, you have to make sure to pay each and every one of them. And furthermore, Leneklu Reb Tafra Reb Kiva Al Shalakach Mekach Mechamisha Bnei Adam Veinidem Eizem Mehem Lakach. When you bought purchase from one of the five, you know who you purchased from. Over there, they don't argue. Again, Shemineh to Mekach Mehem Mistalik. You put down the money of the purchase and let them figure out who's the one that was the seller, and let them collect. Let the seller find it and collect it. Leneklu El Shikaz Mechamisha. The case where they argue is where he stole from one of five. Shem Reb Tarfon Meneich Gezel Bnei Mim Stalik. Reb Tarfon still says you could put the gezel between them, the money, and leave it. Reb Kiva Yomer Actually Shem Gezel Chol Gezel Gezela. So what do you see? With the Kamer of Shem Elazar Bekidesh VeLakach LePligi Mechal Tanakama Savar. And the merge says we don't have to clearly the Tanakama, but from the fact that Reb Shem Elazar came along and said that they don't argue in a case of Kiddush and Lakach, sounds like Tanakama holds. They do argue in that case. Mechal Tanakama Savar Pligi. They argue in the case. So it comes out according to Tanakama, they argue both by Kiddush and Lakach. According to Rabbi Shimon Lazar, they only argue by Gazal and Baal. Our Mishnah says they argue even by Kiddush and Gazal. It's a mix. L'chari, that's not like any of the opinions in the Braisa. Mani, Itan Kam, listening Kiddush Vilakach. Yir Shimon Lazar, the Mishnah should say, listening Bav Gazal. The way we have the Mishnah doesn't feel like any of them. Gemara says, Melam Shimon Lazar, Amishnah is Shimon Lazar. And what does Kiddush mean? Kiddush in the Mishnah doesn't mean like we had in the Brisa. Kiddush means Bia. We know Isha can be Mekudeshes in three ways. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Kiddush over here means the Kiddush of Bia. Umay Kiddush, Kiddush Bia, Kiddush over here means Kiddush of Bia. And therefore, it goes like, it fits like a Belazar, like a Shimon Belazar, that we're talking about a case of Bia and a case of Gezel. Dafka Dez Machlaikis had it been Kiddush alone, or Lagach, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree, you could just put down the money and leave. Says Gemara, Tana Kiddush, Adir Chashtar, Rabbi Akiva, the Tana taught the case of Kiddush, Tishus Kaikha Rabbi Akiva, Dafka Abdisru Dabban Oven, Kanas, even though all he did was Isra Banan. By Kiddush Bia, he's like, Mr. Abanam, the Abanam say, you shouldn't be Kiddush Bia, he's a Kiddush Bia, that's enough still to be Kanasim, that just baby over Mr. Abanam, and Tana Gazal, Dirk Kirk, the Tarfan, and Gazal the Seifa teaches the Kirk of Tarfan that even though he's over Mr. Isa, we let him get off the hook of putting down the money in front of five people in one. Only one payment. The Alpha Gav is the Raisa of Adloikonis. So the Raisa teaches the Kayach of Rabbi Kiva, even though it's Istra Abanan, we knas, and the Sefer is teaching us the Kayach of Rabbi Tarfin, that even by a Issa Raisa, even by an Issa Raisa, we do not knas. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Haisha Shahalcha, he Ubal Linas Yam. I can't hear you. You ask your question?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Next Mishnah. The Isha that went with her in the house of the Medina Siyam, Ubunayimam, and they went with the child. My husband died, and then my child died, Nemenes. Again, she left Becheskas that she wasn't going to be Zakat to Yibam. She came back and said, my husband died, and then my child died, which means Vaitish, she's not Zakat to Yibam. Therefore, Nemenes. She's not changing anything from what we would have, the Chazakah that we had, that she wasn't going to meet Yibam. However, if she says, first my son died, then my husband died, and therefore now I'm Zakat to Yibam, ain't a Nemenes. We can't believe her for that. Remember, we believe the husband died to allow her to get married, but to believe her that the son died first and then the husband died to make her zakat yibam and isra veshizach, not so fast. But we are chayshish for her words. The Gabi herself, she's saying her child died first and she needs yibam or chalitza. We can't believe her to do yibam, but we can't let it just go for you and nothing. And therefore, what do? Chalitza misibemis. We have to do chalitza without yibam. Nita libem benisiam. If they went overseas, the husband and wife without children, and she says, I was. And then she says, my child died, and then my husband died. Again, the menace, because she's not changing the chazaka from what we knew it. When they left Midas Yam, she was Zaktibim, had her husband, if her husband were to die, and she just said, we did have a child. Child did die first, and then my husband died. So it's really the same outcome that I've heard you saying, my husband died to us. And therefore, she is Nemenes to do Yibam. Meis Bali Vach Meis Bini. But what if she says, my husband died, and then my child died? So, she's telling us both that she had a child with Midas Yam and that the husband died first. Again, in a menace, she's not going to be believed. We are chayshish for words that it may be true, and therefore chasves memes. She's not believed to say for sure that she is zakat yibam, but chayshish for words that maybe she is zakat yibam. And what do we have her do? We have her do chalitza and not yibam. Nitli yavam min Midas Yam. So it's interesting. Over there, we are believed. That we do, but since she first said that her child overseas before she said her husband died, so we already took that as a quasi fact, and therefore we can't allow her to do yibam because we don't believe her fully on the second part about who died first. Nitli love yam nidas yam. If she says that she went overseas with her husband alone, and when she left, she had no brother-in-laws. Her husband had no brothers, and she says, my husband did have a brother, was born to him when I was nidas yam. Amra. My husband died, and then my brother-in-law died. So Lamaisa, she's not zakat yibam because there's no more brother-in-law. Yivami v'achabali, or opposite order. My husband died first, then my husband died. Either way, there is no yibam. Nemena, she's not going to believe. As far as we know, there was no brother-in-law. She's the one telling us about the brother-in-law, and she's telling us that he was dead either prior to or after her husband. Either way, there's no brother-in-law to do yibam to, just like we understood when she first left town. And therefore, she's Nemena, and she can go marry whoever she wants. What if the husband had a brother that traveled with them to Midas Yam with the husband and wife? She says, first my husband died, then my brother died, or opposite order, or first my husband died, then my husband died. Either way, she's claiming that my husband died, and I'm not zakat yibam because my brother is dead too. Ain't a menace. The menace she always has is about her husband. The menace she doesn't have a menace about her brother-in-law, and therefore, as far as we know, she's zakat yibam. The Mishnah says explicitly, she's not able to say that my Yavam died, that I'm able to get married. She's not meant to say that a brother-in-law died to be able to be parted from Yibam, nor is she believed to say that Achaisa, that her, my sister died to be able to go marry her sister's husband. Similarly, a man is not meant to say that my brother died in order to go marry his brother's wife. And nor is the husband able to say, my wife died to be able to go marry his wife's sister. All those testimonies they're not Neman. The only testimony that we said was Neman is the Isha testimony about her husband dying, that she's Neman, but only about her husband dying, not about her brother-in-law dying, and therefore she would still be considered Zakuk Tibam. She'd be a little bit of pickle until she brings, according to her words, until she brings other Edim that her brother-in-law Taka died. Baiminate Rav Mar Nachman. Hamazaka Gedlish Timakim Yav Mahu. If a person is Mazaka get his wife, through a third person, where the option for her is, if he dies without children, his wife is going to fall to Yibam. So the shaila really is that considered a schus or not? Right? If it's a schus, the third party could accept again on her behalf. If it's not a schus, then he cannot. Kivin decided on schusla, since we'll say that she does not like the Yavam, she feels bound to the brumlo that she never picked. Therefore, it's a schus for her. Since Marmish is these two svaras we've had back and forth early in the Masechta as well, or sometimes she actually likes the brother-in-law, and therefore it's not a schus. She'd be very happy to marry the brother-in-law if the husband dies. Therefore, it's a chayiv, and he can't do a chayiv for someone, and therefore the get is not going to be a good get. Meaning, we know a husband, we discussed, allowed to divorce his wife, Baal Karcha. We discussed the Chayim Gershom, that he can't divorce Baal Karcha. Back in the day, he could divorce Baal Karcha. That was the lumpness we had a couple of months ago, why he could even divorce a Chareshes. Even though she's a deaf mute, the svara that he can still give his wife again when she's deaf mute is because since you don't need her consent in general, you don't need her get to be with her ruts and it could be Baal Karcha, it also doesn't need her full das. Again, it's a little bit of a jump, but you don't need her full das because anyway it can be Baal Karcha. That's the svara that we've had. But that just means when you give it to her, you have to give it to her, give it to her shus, give it to herself, give it to her shliach l'kabbalah, great. But for him to give it to a third person to be zeich on her behalf, that he can't do unless it's schus. And therefore, the shaila bovir is to be treated as a schus or not. Amalei Rachman says, Tanina, we learned this in our Mishnah. V'chayshin l'devra. We learned in our Mishnah, when the Isha testifies that we thought she was in a status that she's zakat yibam, and that she, sorry, that she's asked the yibam, and she comes and says that she is zakat yibam, we say that we don't let her do yibam, but v'chayshin l'devra, and therefore we have the Yavam do Chalitza. Says the Gemara, we chesh for words, and we have to do Chalitza, but not Yibam. It sounds like, what do we mean with chesh for words? We chesh for words because we're obviously concerned that maybe she likes her husband, her brother-in-law, and wants to do Yibam, or maybe, and really it's two cases of the Mishnah. We also have the case of the Mishnah where maybe she doesn't like her, and she's trying to get out of Yibam, and therefore in both cases we can't trust her, and therefore we have Duchalitza just to be safe. You see that you have Nashim in both directions. You have Nashim that sometimes hate their women, and Nashim that like the Yavam, like the brother-in-law. And therefore over here, L'chaira, we should say that the same halacha. And if someone gives a get to a third party, we should say it's not clear whether or not it's a schus for her, and therefore maybe she's divorced, maybe she's not, and we should require chalitza not even. We should say chaletzes vaybis memes. That should be the psak lemaisa in such a case based on our Mishnah. Amar Avinu Rava, hamzaka lishte bakim ketata mahu. What if someone is mazaka gets his wife when they're in a fight, husband wife in a fight, and he says, okay, he gives a third party get to be zeicha for his wife. Since there's a fight between them, it's a schusver. Idilma nicha degufa adif. Or we say no, the nicha degufa, the idea of being with a man, having her physical needs, being able to be taken care of, is better. Even though she's in a fight, even though she's fighting with him, she'd rather not be divorced. Tashema. This gets back to Lizer. You were debating the other day the different akdaris of a woman rather than being married. Tavamis of Tandu, what different madrigas are. Look at the Lashon, says Gemara over here. It's Mamish. This should be the perfect place for you to do your research. Tashema Adam Rav Mesh Lakish. Tavamis of Tandu, Milamis of Amalu. It's better to live, Tandu means Lashon of two bodies, than to live alone. Tavamis of Tandu. So I sent you, my mistake, a couple of months ago, I believe I sent you back to Kedushin, Adaf Mamal from Kedushin, where you have the Gemara over there. The Gemara brings it right over here. Yivam Miskuf Yiches. Further, Abaye says, Abaye Amar, the Shum Shemana Gavra. The husband can be as short as an ant, Kursa Becharasa Ramula. She gets her a chair amongst the women. Meaning, all the married women like to hock together, like to sit together. Even if her husband's as small as an ant, she's married. When she's married, she's in the married woman section. She's not in the single woman section. And that's Kedai for another Lashra, Papamar, Nafsa Gavra. Even if the husband combs wool, apparently combing wool was considered like a lower level of a profession. Tikri b'sifah b'bava b'sei. She'll call to him at the doorstep and sit with him to serve him. Meaning, she, even though he's a low level profession to the wife, he's the king of his house. Rav Ashi amar t'kol segavra, one who's yichus, the man who's yichus may be a little bit questionable. Leibat tafel kidra. He won't even have to ask for. Won't even ask for lentils for the pot. Or I say opposite. She, by being married to him, at least doesn't have to worry about lentils for a pot, doesn't have to worry about food. She gets mezainis. The point is, whether it's mezainis, whether it's for, you know, for companionship, whether it's to be able to sit amongst the married women, women much prefer to be married. That is all the day of an Isha. And therefore, on the contrary, even if they're fighting, we don't say giving a get for her is a benefit. Unless you know for sure she wants the get, we say giving the effort is not a benefit. And therefore, the third party cannot accept the get in this case. Tana, we just started to brace about all these but the evident husband situations, yes, she wants the husband for the companionship, for being able to sit in the amongst the other women, for being able to have mazanis. But you know what? She says the Gemara, kul mazanis tells Babalayim. There's still mazana. These nashim, with these second rate, we'll call it, or settling husbands, they're mazana. And then when they're pregnant, they have the ability to be tailor, the child came for the husband. So it's not the pshat that everything's wonderful in paradise over there. The point is that Al-Gabe get, we don't assume that they won't accept the get, but people should be careful. Don't think that oh, it's great, I'll take advantage because I'm a guy and she needs to be married, so I'm going to get into one of these marriages. Not a safe marriage because the woman may opt to be Mizano. Pause over here, pick up Mitzvah tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.